Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
It's hard to believe that a man of your humility and quiet demeanor could have that long a career in radio.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's my pleasure to be with you now for our 11th consecutive Thanksgiving Day live program. One of the things I like to do is talk about how all this got started and to give you a little bit of history and talk about some of the human beings who made a difference. I call it When Cause and Effect Meets Humanity. It's a story about cause and effect and how one person, could be you, could be me, can make a difference in the course of history. He was born in what is now Massachusetts, USA. His father named him Tisquantum, and he was a member of the Patuxet tribe, which was part of the confederation of tribes known as the Wampanoags. The Wampanoag, which means Eastern people, inhabited much of what became known as New England. Tisquantum would become a very important person in the future of America, but not before his life would change in ways not to be imagined by any early 17th century Native American. In 1605, Captain George Weymouth thought financial backers might be impressed if they saw real, live Indians. In an expedition on the east coast of the New World, Captain Weymouth lured three real live Indians onto his ship, kidnapped them, and took them back to England. One of those Indians was Tisquantum. In England, Tisquantum eventually came to live with Sir Ferdinando George, a financier of New World exploration and exploitation. George taught Tisquantum English and employed him to be a guide and interpreter for his sea captains. Tisquantum, now called Squanto, was brought back to America in 1614 to assist in the mapping of the New England coast. But Squanto's greatest flaw, the inability to know which Englishman to trust, kept getting him into trouble, and incredibly, he was kidnapped again, along with a couple dozen other Indians. This time, Squanto was taken to Spain to be sold. A group of friars there in Malaga, Spain, discovered what was happening and took several of the Indians, including Squanto, from their captors in order to instruct them in Christianity. Squanto lived with the friars until he became homesick, and in 1618 he boarded a ship bound for the New World again. In another twist of fate, while in Newfoundland, Squanto found an associate of his old friend, Sir George, who took Squanto, apparently willing this time, back across the big water for the fifth time and his second trip to England. Now trilingual, Squanto was a unique resource, and George once again employed his Indian friend to return to America to map the coastline that was so familiar to him. Arriving back in his home range in 1619, Squanto made the shocking discovery that during his absence, the Wampanoag people had been decimated in 1617 by an epidemic, which had also wiped out every single member of his home village. About this same time, plans were being laid to establish a colony in what the English then considered to be the northern boundary of Virginia. These plans came to fruition when on September 6th, 1620, the 90-foot-long Mayflower set sail from Plymouth, England. The Mayflower's manifest recorded the names of 110 passengers and crew, including 32 laden separatists, also called pilgrims. To be sure, demographically, the Mayflower passengers were an unlikely and sometimes contentious gaggle. Even though they were in the minority, the 37 pilgrims treated their non-separatist fellow passengers with condescension and actually called them the Others. But there was one common thread that bound them all together. Each had embarked on this courageous adventure to claim a new prospect in the world. Landfall came for the Mayflower colonists on the 66th day at sea, November 9th, when they came ashore at near the tip of what is now Cape Cod, and actually called Provincetown now. Their first encounter with the indigenous people almost cost them dearly when they stumbled onto an Indian burial ground and were chased back to the Mayflower by the graveyard's indignant caretakers. This first contact episode must have seemed like bad luck, but as they would learn, it was a blessing in disguise. Safely back on the Mayflower and sailing on toward the main coast, the colonists created a very important document. They called it the Mayflower Compact, and we now know it to be the first set of laws established for settlers for the New World. The next landing would be more peaceful, and on the day after Christmas, 1620, the colonists chose to establish their new life on the mainland shore of what is now Massachusetts, in a place they named Plymouth, after the city from which they had left. The first winter was very cruel. Oh, by the way, two children had been born, one at sea and one in the Cape Cod Harbor. Oceanus was the boy at sea, and Peregrine was the girl at sea, and I have it on good authority that those two survived this cold, cruel winter that I'm about to tell you about. By March 1621, less than half of the Mayflower contingent remained alive. But with all of their misfortune, they were about to discover something for which they would later be very thankful. On March 16th, an Indian named Samoset walked into the colonist camp and greeted them with, "Hello, English." Samoset was a Monhegan Indian, which means he was a leader. And he was from what is now called the state of Maine. He was hunting and trading in the area. And even though he spoke some English, Samoset knew these sad-looking folks needed more help than he could give them. Remembering our trilingual, world-traveling orphan, Squanto, Samoset turned to him and brought him to the colonists, to their settlement. On the very spot where their settlement was the very spot where Squanto's village had been, where all of his family had died. Samoset brought him there, and during the rest of the year, he befriended them, taught them how to fish, grow crops, and survive in the new land. When we come back, the rest of the story.
Hi, Jim. This is Jennifer Reed Hawthorne, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Woman's Soul and Life Lessons for Loving the Way You Live. And I'm calling to wish you a very happy 10th anniversary. I am so proud to be a member of your Brain Trust, and I'm looking forward to many delightful conversations in the next 10 years. Happy 10th anniversary, Jim. On the roof is
peaceful as can be. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. I want to wrap up the story that I talked about earlier. And I was telling you about Squanto. And when we left them, Squanto had found the pilgrims. He'd been brought there by Samoset. And during that year, by the way, there's only of the 110 people who came ashore, including the two babies, less than half were still alive. But the babies were, and that's good news. And we learned this week that only four women were alive. How about that? Only four women survived the winter. So here's what we know. Without Samoset's initial and Squanto's sustained benevolence of this bedraggled group, it's generally accepted that the pilgrims probably would have suffered severe famine over the next year, which would likely have resulted in the failure of the Mayflower expedition. But thanks to the humanity of these two individuals, Samoset and Squanto, the humanity of those Native Americans, the first harvest by the colonists was bountiful. And sometime in October 1621, not November, October, the first one, they decided to set aside a day to give thanks for their blessings. Squanto was invited, and he brought other Indians to what became the first day, the first Thanksgiving Day in America, 1621. So here are the cause and effect questions. What if Squanto had not been kidnapped and taken to live in Europe? What if he had not learned English or ultimately endeavored to return to his home? More importantly, what if he and Samoset had not been had been of a good heart and had not befriended the people who arguably were the most important early colonist seeds in the history of what is now the United States? Neither Samoset nor his new friends would have known that after 386 years, not just the United States, but in fact the world, is still benefiting from the experiences of his life and the decisions of these two individuals, Samoset and Squanto, and in their interest in doing good. If the success of the Mayflower expedition was important to the ultimate settlement of America, then it takes no great leap of logic to see how an individual, any individual, can make a difference in the success of the United States and maybe even the world. This week I give thanks for Squanto, one person who chose to do good and to make a positive difference in the lives of many. And if Squanto can do it, you and I can too. It's one of the most amazing phenomenons to me is how one person can make a difference. And I love, you heard me talk about the story about the star thrower, where the guy was on the beach and he saw a guy throwing little starfish back into the sea, and there were thousands and thousands of these starfish. And he said, and by the way, this story comes from Joel Barker, I found out recently, our friend Joel Barker. And so the guy was throwing these starfish into the sea, and the guy walks up to other guy walks up to him and says, "Why are you doing this?" He says, and he picks one up and throws it back in. He says, "How could you possibly make a difference? There's so many of these starfish. You're throwing them back one at a time." And the guy picked up one starfish and threw it back in the water, and he said, "Made a difference to that one, didn't I?" Here's some things to be thankful for. It's a list that I now have come to know, come to believe was written by Mother Teresa. I didn't know who the author was for a long time. I've talked about it on the show for many years. I've used these passages, and now I believe it was from Mother Teresa, and it suits me to think that. Be thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug, because it means you have enough to eat. Be thankful for the mess you clean up after a party, because it means you've been surrounded by friends. Be thankful for the taxes you pay, because it means you're employed. Be thankful that your lawn needs mowing and your windows need fixing, because that means you have a home. Be thankful for your heating bill, because it means you're warm. Be thankful for the laundry, because it means you have clothes to wear. Be thankful for the space you find at the far end of the parking lot, because it means you can walk. Be thankful for the lady who sings off key behind you in church, because it means you can hear. Be thankful for the alarm that goes off in the early morning, because it means you are alive. I'm thankful for many things, for my family, for my country, for our men and women in uniform who stand a post around the world on our behalf, in harm's way, even as we speak, as you and I are celebrating in peace and tranquility and going about our lives. We have men and women who suited up in the uniform of our country today and went into harm's way. I'm so thankful for the agape love for them and for the agape love that they show to not only to us, but to people wherever they find them. And small business owners, I'm very thankful for you. You know how proud I am of you. You know how I feel about the contribution that you make, not to your families, to your employees, to their families, to your customers, and to the world. I'm very proud of you, and I'm very thankful for you. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving Day. We got a lot more to come. Jim Donovan is going to be with us. We're on the other side of these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy Thanksgiving Day.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.